Frank, thanks very much, mate.
Pleasure, absolute pleasure. Thanks for letting the dog in.
Thanks for bringing Bobby as well. I was going to say, I thought we were going out tonight.
And then you brought it goes everywhere with me. So the only place I've not took him is the nightclub.
No, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine, yeah.
But it's just as well, mate, because my missus' sister's Frank McAvey, straight up the road after it. Didn't go, but she wanted you to come back as well.
not again.
See all that stuff, won't you? See all that, where's the birds and all that?
Yeah.
Does it annoy you? Because just see, before I interviewed you, Frank, right? I spoke to a few people because you were before my time and what a player you were meant to be. And all you really get remembered for is this, where's the birds
and all that? Johnny Watson kept me, you know, what he done. He kept me in the limelight for many years, but he's been doing me for about, 30 odd years now.
Excuse the pun.
He's been doing my character, which is great, you know, and it's, to be honest, it's the only good thing on it now. I just think he's went away from football too much now. If he gets back to it, it's a great programme. Everyone watches it in New Year, so.
And do you get it everywhere you go?
Yeah, I get it. I'd done an advert there for 6 months for the boilers and all that, and that was all I got, you know, fixed my boiler, so. For 6 months, I got the "Where's the birds?" Never got asked. I never got asked "Where's the birds?" It was always "Go fix my boiler." So that was good.
Brilliant. On to the football, mate. Grew up in Milton.
Yes, I did.
What was that like growing up?
It was good. It was a good place when I grew up. I mean, I don't know what it's like now. My parents are not there anymore. So, it was great. I mean, all my doors, everyone's doors were opened, and the neighbours could go in and keep an eye on you. And, it was good. It really was good. I enjoyed growing up in Milton. There was no money. My parents didn't have any money, but, you know, I had a lot of love and it kept me right.
And was it just football constantly?
No, football playing the street. Not organised football.
No.
It was playing the street and we used to go and play, you know, 10-a-side, 12-a-side, first of 21 and all that. And I think that's where I learned how to play football because it was red ash. It was bumpy and bobbly and... You know, and yeah, well, I suppose it's the same nowadays. You know, it's like the old boys in the estate. If you don't control it, they just come through you. So that's where I learned how to control the ball, really.
Do you think that's what's missing with the kids these days as well?
I think so. I think the government's got a lot to do with it. I think up to 13, 14, the kids shouldn't be paying for football.
No.
You know, I think they should just let them go and play football. And people say to me, I like seeing that organised football and six-a-side pitches and all that. And I'm saying, I'd rather see, there's a big waste ground beside it. I would rather see kids playing on that. You know, what I used to do, we used to get the jerseys down or just anywhere there was goalposts, we used to go and play football.
And so when did it get serious for you? Was it juniors that you started in?
I never played football till I was 19. I played in primary school in St. Augustine's where I grew up. I was there I played 2 years, I think, in the primary school. And we won a couple of trophies. Which is the only time they've ever won. And then I get sent off, and my dad was quite annoyed with me, so I never played football. And the days back then, everyone played Saturdays, like juniors, amateurs, juniors, professionals, all played Saturdays. So I never played football. I used to go and watch Celtic every week.
Right.
That was all I'd done. Home and away, and my dad, my uncle, so it was really good, you know.
So when did it start? When did you start playing then?
The Celtic game, you know, before the underground heating and all, the Celtic game got cancelled 1 week. And I'm walking through Glasgow and some of my pals were there. And they asked me to come and play football and that's what I did. I went away and played. The manager was going to get me a couple of beers after it. So
that was a cool
that
one.
That was my first pay without telling the tax man. That was my first. I was easily bribed. So, it was good.
And then after that, was it Celtic Park? Gave it up?
No, I played and there was 5 scouts watching the boy that I was playing against that day.
Right.
It was a team called the 200 Club. And I played a couple of games, but that day there was 5 scouts watching this boy. And I had no bad game, so they were all wanting me. Junior clubs were wanting me to sign and professional clubs wanted me to go on trial. I went trial with Partick Thistle. Bertie Old told me I wasn't good enough.
We 10-30, didn't you? You're not
brilliant,
good enough.
Brilliant, you're not good enough, son. You'll never make it. And that's when I realised that I was going to play football because I knew I was better than the team he had. I knew...
Did that spur you on him saying that?
I did. That was my kickstart, if you know what I mean.
So what was his reasons behind that, do you think?
I was like a swan vest a match. Honestly, I had ginger hair. And I was so thin. But, you know, you can... It was 1 a.m. I went to St Mirren on trial. Played one game, good game. And then I played against Morton and got sent off. And I thought I'd blown it. And the manager, Jim Clooney, at the time says, we knew you had the ability. We didn't know if you had the bottle, so for some reason when I get sent off, that was just the reason they signed me. Mm-hmm. So because I had the heart to play professional football.
See, playing in the juniors, because yes. I think Kenny Dalglish and that got sent into the juniors yes. as well. Do you think that's something that could still happen with the younger kids? Does it toughen you up?
It toughens you up, but can you imagine the boys playing nowadays? Mm-hmm. You know, they'd be like, I look at the pitches, and some of the pitches I played on, they wouldn't even train on it now. So I think it's wrong. You see a lot of kids coming in now with Ferraris and all that, and you're thinking, where's the motivation? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't get it. They're giving the money to the kids, and the boys think they've made it, and they're not anywhere near the first team, which I think is so wrong. I don't know how they would get around it, because there's that much money in the game now that people are just saying, my agent will move me. Mm-hmm. Which is wrong, you know. I think football should be first and foremost, and then the money takes care of itself. I'm a great believer in that.
So signing for St Mirren, first thing you done was fix the Barnet, wasn't it?
Fix the Barnet, my first wage,
yes. That's got more highlights in
it's
sports.
It's got more highlights. People say, what's the highlights? And I say, every month.
So what was it, ginger before?
I was ginger. I was like a swan vest a match, honestly.
So what, the first pay, straight and get the hair done?
Aye, was straight and got it done. And it was curly, and I tried to get it straightened, and our usual crap, but it was good. It was, you know, if they'd straightened us back in the day, I'd have been a lot more damaged than what I did do.
See, coming up, see if you came up in an academy or not, do you think it would have took the sort of player?
I would have made it.
Do you not think so? Why not?
I think I'd have had the right attitude to do that, you know. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of respect for people, but I see a lot of people in football that are arrogant, ignorant people. And if one of them told me to go and do something, you know, she gave him as my boot boy.
Was
he? And he was great, and I used to give him money and all that. And all the boys used to love him when I was at Celtic, because they were having a night out, and I used to give him 50 or 100 quid or something. I'd go, right, go and have a good night, boys, but tomorrow morning, I want to know everything about it. I'd sit there, me and Grant, you know, I'd be sitting waiting for the stories, and it was good.
Brilliant.
And the boys loved it, you know, because you've got to treat them with a bit of respect. But I'm a one-off. I don't know if there's many players that would, you know, there's a lot of arrogant people there and just fling stuff at the boot boys. Mm-hmm. And if I'd have got one of them, I'd probably fling a boot back at them, you know. So I might not have made it.
So how was it in St Mirren going into your first professional club? Was it brilliant? The boys tough on you, or was it?
Oh, aye, tough on. Jimmy Bone was horrendous on me, but I didn't realise he was teaching me, you know, and because I'm not the biggest player, and I always wanted to play up front. I was in midfield for 3 years, right. 3.5 years, and I said I want to play up front because Frank McDougall and that wouldn't do anything in the game, but he would score a goal and he would get the headlines, and I thought I want him.
Want
and I'd get a wee bit at the bottom, Frank McAvaney, money match, and I'd be like, no, I want the headlines. So that was it. And Jimmy was teaching me, and it was good to me, but I didn't realise at the time. In the days, some of the boys went out their way to teach you and give me a bit of knowledge that he had, you know, because Jimmy wasn't the biggest player in the world, and he used to teach me how to jump before the defenders and all that, and get up and stop waiting for jumping and all that kind of stuff. And you don't realise it, you know. It's invaluable.
A wee hidden gems, yeah. You don't get that as well anymore. No, it's the older players helping younger players, eh?
No, you don't get it, and it's wrong. That's what I think is a big thing about the reserve teams football. You know, when I was coming back for injury, if I played in the reserve game, the boy that I'm playing with side, you know, I learnt it when I played with Jimmy Bowen and people like that. They teach you. You learn so much in one game, mm-hmm. more than what you ever do in a season with under 20s or something, you know. Because these boys have done it all, and they're teaching you how to make moves, and you know, and when to go and when not to go and all that kind of stuff. So, it was invaluable. But one of my first things that Jimmy Bowen taught me was don't put Royal Jacks on your nuts. You know, I had an injury, and he gave me some Royal Jacks and told me to rub that. It was all right. That'll never happen again, that's for sure.
For a couple of weeks after that.
And I'm kidding on, it's not bothering me, wouldn't I? I'm in for a shower. I'm in for a shower, and that made it worse. Oh, it was horrible. Oh, it was horrible. And the boys are laughing, I'm just kidding on, it's not bothering me.
So you're flying for St Mirren, and see, when you're a boy for Milton and you hear the hammers are after you, were you getting too old up thinking it was another gang?
The biggest problem for me was playing for St Mirren and going to Celtic Park, because that was where I grew up, you know. And it was so surreal to go there. And I get told that Celtic were going to sign me before West Ham.
Right.
I got told this in my last game when I was at St Mirren and they signed Morris Johnson. They signed me more. Davey Haight was, but I got told it was my last game for St Mirren and that wasn't to be. And I'm doing the same for Luton. And thankfully, the chairman of Luton slapped me in the back of the head and says, "Welcome to Luton, Macca." And I thought, who was this guy? And it was the chairman. And I looked amazing. I thought, nah, I'm not training for him, you know. Oh. So thankfully, and then when I walked out, St Mirren says that West Ham were interested, and I didn't know anything about them. So if I had signed for Luton, I wouldn't have known about West Ham. Mm-hmm. So there was no.
Were you a bit worried about moving away from home, or was it London at a canter?
No, it wasn't London. It was just me. I wanted to challenge myself. I had 5 seasons at St Mirren, mm-hmm. and I was ready to move. It was, I could have stayed at St Mirren and just, you know, played myself out here. Mm. But I wanted, when you're playing well and you want to challenge yourself against the best, and the best was in England. Mm-hmm. And after Celtic, now it came in for me, I wanted to challenge myself against the best. And it was, at that time, it was all the top players down there. So I went down to England and it was great. I loved it, you know, I just loved everything about it.
Did you go down on your own?
I went down my own for the first week, yeah.
And then there was various.
No, and then I came back up here and asked a girl to come down with me because it was a big lonely place, uh-huh. London. So I asked this girl to come down with me and she did, so it was all right.
And you formed a formidable partnership with wee Hottie, Tony Cotty.
Tony was different class with him. I spoke to him yesterday. I'm with him quite a lot now. We all, you know, although that team never won anything, we came so close to win the league, but it feels like we won because teams that win, they've got this bondage, you know, this bond together, bondage. that's just where I came from. They've got this bond that's very strong, and West Ham had it. And to be honest, when I went down there, the boys, I was a lot stronger accent than what I have now. And when I went down there, the boys couldn't understand the word. Actually, Ray Stewart who's from Perth. He was translating and he kind of understand him, you know, and he was translating for me. So, and he said, "No, the boys think you want to fight them." I'm saying, "What?" I said, "Every time I'm shouting for the ball and all that, uh-huh. then you're too aggressive." So, right.
And did you hit the ground running there straight away, Weston?
Yeah, well, I think, listen, that's why I can't believe nowadays they say that players take time to adapt and adjust. Oh, a lot of nonsense that is, you know.
I think so.
I think so. Tony didn't know about each other or anything, but I think good players can play with each other. And I hit the ground running, first home game, I scored 2, and that was me. And then it took Tony a bit longer to adjust, because Tony was an out-and-out striker, just a poacher. Mm-hmm. And I was used to it, St Mirren leading from the front, the way they're doing now, high press and all that, and I'd done that myself. And I was complaining because I was shutting the fullback down and I needed to pass it back to the keeper. And it was too easy for the fullback to pass it to the keeper. And I was saying, "Tony, you've got to shut the keeper down and get the midfield to push on." And it took us about half a dozen games. And then we had a meeting, just the players and no coaching staff. And that's what we'd done. We got it sorted. And that's when we started the really high press. The whole team done it. Mm-hmm. And we went 19, 18 games unbeaten. So it was, you know, for West Ham, that was pretty awesome.
See, in the days, would it be playing a Saturday and then everyone out together?
No, we used to do it, but, you know, I think what beat us for the league that year was the weather. The weather was terrible. And we never played for ages. We had 4 replays against in the Cup against Ipswich. I mean, it's not really happened now. We had 4 replays against Ipswich. We had 2 against Man United, and we beat them, so we were progressing in the tournaments. And it was wrong because we should just have went for the league.
Too many games.
We only played 14, 15 players uh-huh. on the season.
And you were out all weekend, so you'd have been there.
I was out. Well, it curtailed it a little bit because for 6 weeks we had to play Saturday, Monday and Wednesday.
Right.
Now, can you imagine the players nowadays?
Moaning.
You know, they don't want to play 2 games a week. We had to play 3 because it was there was such a backlog. And it wasn't just us, it was, you know, it was a few other teams. But no one in the league played as much as us. And I think that's what cost us the league.
And you yourself sitting top goal scorer behind Big Gary Lineker?
Well, Gary, I always say I was top goal scorer because Gary scored 13 penalties or something.
Mine
Mine was off the own play.
Right. So that's were there any penalties?
No penalties. I didn't take penalties.
So were you a penalty box striker or was it?
I was more a team player. I must have made, I don't know, 15 to 20, 20 goals, 20 odd goals.
So. Do you wish you were more selfish now?
Nah. I got offered, a couple of teams offered me money to for goal, per goal. And I said I couldn't take it because I just had been greedy and all that. And it would take it away from me. I'm not that kind of player. I'm a team player.
How did you find the step up for going from St Mirren to the Premier League in England? Was it a big jump?
Nah, not really. It was pretty easy.
Was it? What, playing with better players now?
Players. I went down there, you know, the first day of pre-season training, they got the ball out, and I was waiting in somebody's car, thought somebody was filming it for a laugh, you know. And the days, a big programme was Jeremy Beadle, you know, and I thought he was in the cupboard or something, because I'm saying in Scotland, you don't get the ball for 2 weeks. Don't get near it, you just run. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, it's all right. And it's amazing how much you lose your touch in your holidays. And that's what we've done, just passing it, and we get a ball. And he said, don't worry, you run in the afternoon. And it was good in the days, you still ran. But it was great for me. Everything was football. Two touch, we stop the ball, it's a free kick to the other team. And everything, every day, it was just relentless. And it's brilliant. It was great for me, because that's the way I love playing. So Mun were a good football team. Uh-huh. So I was educated well, if you like. So it was... And of course, when you get down there and start scoring goals, everyone loves you.
And that's what I was going to say, the fans down there are fanatical, didn't they? Brilliant.
Down there on Friday night and they were all singing, there were 300 people and they were all singing my name, it was great.
Was it at West Ham that you started to get this sort of celebrity status? Because I think it was Terry Wogan you were on, wasn't it? How did that come about?
There was no TV coverage, so right. I scored 14 goals or 15 goals before the TV came back on. They were arguing over about 60 grand or something, which is embarrassing. So, you know, and nowadays it's like people go, what? I said, yeah. I don't know what it was, 100 grand. I don't know much we're arguing over, but it was something stupid.
Right.
I needed a lot of money, obviously, but... And the first game back was us against Man United, I think it was.
Right. And so, what about the Terry Wogan thing? Did you go on
Well, that's the reason I went on it, because I was just about to make my debut and there was no TV. Nobody knew who I was or what I looked like. Uh-huh. West Ham fans did. Uh-huh. But... You know, it was they stopped somebody on a bridge and all that, and they were saying, who's the top goal scorer in the Premier League or the First Division? They were saying, oh, Mackie Doogie and all that, and can you pronounce my name? And they're saying, what does he look like? Big guy with a beard and all that. Nobody knew what I looked like.
So could you, in London, go out without getting recognised?
It was great. It was brilliant, yeah. Uh-huh. Then I went on Morgan. Morgan changed my life.
Right.
Overnight, just changed. There was 23 million people watching the programme, and it was on a Friday night, and the manager let me go on Morgan. I was on with Dennis Law. The people compared me with him, you know. I never really reached Dennis' heights really in football, but to be fair, Dennis stayed in afraid a lot more than me. No, only kidding. Only joke. It was good to go in with Dennis because I knew him and it was good fun. He presented me with Young Player of the Year and all that up in Scotland, so it was good to go in there and we had a laugh, to be honest. When I look back on it, I've got a Cartier suit on, grey Cartier suit, Cartier tie and shirt and shoes. Oh, I look like an absolute pleb. But I thought I looked great.
Good fun at the time, yeah.
I thought I looked great at the time, you know.
So but, after that, is that when...
Well, actually, that was on Friday night. I played on the Saturday. On Sunday, my mother was going to Australia and she had a 4-hour layover at Heathrow. So I said, I'll come meet her for a bit of lunch. So I went to meet her and I walked in the airport and it was just all the old ladies wanting photos and...
Get-offs.
Autographs and it was incredible. That just overnight, you know, because a lot of football people knew me, but the rest of the world didn't. And because of Wogan, you know, it was 23, 24 million people. It's a big, massive machine. So it was good.
Was that after that? Was you started getting celebrity pals at Ray Winston? Yeah. You were quite pal.
No, Ray was a big West Ham fan. You know, he was a big West Ham. Russell Brand was his hero as well. And, you know, it was good.
So did you go out with Ray in that on a Saturday night?
Ray was nuts. He's a big hoose. Essex boy, good fun.
Was he? Any other pal celebrities that would be there?
No, Danny Dyer. No, I know Danny and all them. I know Danny and Tamar Hussein, and I know quite a lot of the boys. It's good.
How much did you enjoy that living down there and doing well on the pitch and then?
You know,
out
these guys are all the same. They're all good pals, you know. Uh-huh. It was good. Uh-huh. Good fun.
Was it around that time you were pally with George Best as well?
George, with the same agent, with right. the same business manager, Bill McMurdo. So when I went down there, George actually looked after me.
Well, that's dangerous, isn't it?
Dangerous. It explains a lot, though. Uh-huh. It explains an awful lot, but it was good. It really was. It had a great place in Dover Street called Blondes. Don't need to say it anymore. It was great. It was really beautiful restaurant and wine bar. It was good.
Would you change anything now about going out all the time?
I had a night in Colchester once. I never did that again.
I've been to Colchester, I understand. Doing well for West Ham. And
yes.
So why leave? Just for the pool of Celtic?
Celtic, yeah.
When did you first hear that?
I'd signed about three contracts for West Ham and no money. Right. I was getting rises, but I wasn't getting signed on fee. And I'm saying, like, you've got to get signed on fee and I've got to do this. And it wasn't to be. And he just said to me, Celtic's in for me.
Is there no way you were staying after you heard that?
Yeah.
Were you desperate to go?
I was Celtic. I love West Ham. I absolutely loved them, but Celtic was my club. And I knew it was Greenwich Centenary year. And I knew that they were just knocked out of the League Cup, so I had a wee bargain until with my agent. So, it was good. I thought I'd got what I wanted, but I never got paid. But it was all right.
How come you never got paid?
Because there was a deal done with Celtic. That was the reason I left. I thought, when I signed for Celtic, I thought I was there to my career finish, because that was my club. It wasn't the board of today. It wasn't the Celtic as today. It was the old miserable sods. Remember? You know, the Kellys and the Whites and all that. You know, I'm not going to get too much into it, but they promised me money and I didn't get it.
Wow.
So basically, I came back for a lot less than what I was getting in England.
And was it only the pool of Celtic, or did Big Billy have something to do with that?
Billy was my idol, and I knew, you know, I knew it'd be great for my dad and my family. So the proudest moment ever in football, people say, what's your highlight and all that, but the proudest moment for me was my debut at Celtic Park. When I looked up and seen the directors, the old board moving, and let my dad and uncle sit in the directors box, because they took me everywhere, you know, and so that was magnificent for me.
Brilliant, eh? Mm. How was Big Billy as a manager, was he?
Brilliant, great. Absolutely adore him. Find me every week. I was always late on a Monday.
Back down in London?
Coming from London, I was always there. I mean, I didn't realise that we made the squad so tight, because they were, you know how you do the Grand National and everyone picks numbers out of hat? Uh-huh. Or the numbers of Grand National. They were doing that with me on a Monday morning to see what minute I came in at. Because I was always late, so some did one, some did up to 30 minutes and all that kind of stuff, a lot of players. So.